The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Very good morning to you all, and a happy new year indeed from us here. It's Thursday morning, the 2nd of January 2020. Yes to 2020. If numbers could look attractive, beautiful, handsome and pretty, 2020 has a great ring to it. So it's going to be good. And we're all here together. So join hands and we'll jump and see where it takes us. 51551 is the text number. You can email ryan@rte.ie, and we are well and truly over the hump. That was Christmas. Gone. And it's been lovely and all, but and I hope you had a great time and it wasn't too hectic or too stressful. And you know what? The good news is that no matter how big a star you are, and no matter how important you are, and no matter how spiritual you are, and no matter how holy you are, you can still get cranky. And that's the point of the Pope slapping the woman in the Vatican yesterday, because he just said, enough, please. You have to have seen the footage. He was going along the rope line, as it were, the Pope line, it's probably called, and he was making his way down, and a woman reaches out, fair enough. She grabs him, and it's not like she's grabbing to kind of nearly shake his hand. She pulls him toward, like, it's nearly violent. It's papal violence. So it's kind of got that respectful sense of physicality. And his arm is nearly pulled out of his socket, like, in fairness to the Pope. Like, this man was just trying to be nice and beatific and, you know, holy around the place. And the next thing, he nearly has the arm pulled out of his socket. And he's looking, and he's in his face is contorted in pain. The man has had his arm nearly pulled out. And he's looking at the woman and saying, what are you thinking? And he slaps her on the hand and says, get off. And I feel the Pope's pain in the sense that, I mean, obviously, no, it's never happened to me. I'm not the Pope. But I think that sometimes this person, the strength of her belief and the proximity to the pontiff was just too much for her not to be able to resist pulling the arm out of the man's socket. I mean, it could have been an incident, it dislocated something, but it wasn't. But it did then turn into an incident, because then he had to turn around and say, look, lads, we all get cranky, essentially. We all just get tired, and sometimes we do lose patience. We've seen him before. Do you remember they all had to kiss the ring and his finger? And eventually he was trying to pull it away. I don't know if he's a germaphobe. I don't know if he has holy hand sanctifier or sanitizer, whatever he calls it. And that makes clean the flesh once more after the wounds of a handshake. But nevertheless, the papal patients were tested. He failed the test on this occasion. And I think he's entitled on occasion to get a little bit cranky. I mean, we know that Family Guy, the TV comedy show, did that once. They imagined the Pope being like a child who didn't want to get out of bed one morning.
Pope! Pope! It's a time to get up and put on your hat.
It's a stupid hat.
Pope!
All right, okay. God.
Pope, the floor is not a hamper.
Man!
Good. Now it's a time to go on the balcony and address the people.
And he does, but with the cranky head in him, because sometimes the Pope gets cranky. I was telling you before at Christmas to watch The Two Popes, and if you haven't seen it, well worth the view. I thought it was lovely, and it's... what else did I watch then? Oh yeah, Angels and Demons. I went back to that one. Do you know the way with the holiday times, and you find yourself sometimes going, give me something that's not very bright. Give me something that my brain can just about handle. And Angels and Demons is the Dan Brown novel. Like the Da Vinci Code style with Tom Hanks. Big ham performance from Tom Hanks. It's perfect for the holiday fair. So I gave that a viewing. And that's, again, Ewan McGregor also out hamming. In fact, a ham and a turkey. But a great selection of them all together in another sort of papal adventure in the Vatican. And that was quite good fun, which was on over the Christmas period. Now, a piece in the Mail this morning says that clinking champagne glasses, fireworks and lavish destinations littered our Instagram feeds over the new year as celebrities and influencers rang in the new decade. However, despite these appearing to be picture-perfect celebrations, one leading psychologist is urging people to remember they are just an illusion. Now, I think that we're now into the territory where Instagram, and I'm on it, and, you know, we're, I think everyone on Instagram, kind of, you do are peddling a version of yourself, aren't you? I mean, you're not going to show everything. That's, if you don't know that by now, sure, you, there's no point in even starting. But I think some people do flog an existence that really doesn't exist, and everything, as you know, at this stage is put through a filter, and there's a sort of a joyfulness to it that I think people are getting quite cynical about it, kind of going, what? I don't know if I believe any of them. And even the word influencer, and what are they really? I think there's a cynicism creeping into that whole world. People, I think, are beginning to turn. This might be interesting for 2020, is that people might suddenly go, no, it could be the year of authenticity, where people actually want the Pope to say no, and they want people to be a bit more real. And that's certainly something to keep in mind. And that I think it'd be a great thing, a very good thing indeed. And being nice, incidentally, when you're not being cranky, is good for you. It's good for you physically. According to another piece today, a study has found that doing a good deed not only helps the recipient, but brings the giver physical pleasure and pain relief. How about that? Acting altruistically relieve not only acutely induced physical pain among healthy adults, but also chronic pain among other types of patients. And the researchers looked at the impact of being a good Samaritan. Should send this on to Francis now and let him know. MRI scans of patients' brains found that an act of perceived kindness had an instant deactivating impact on the portion of the brain that registers painful stimulation, that is the medial prefrontal cortex. In one experiment, volunteers who gave blood following an earthquake were found to experience less pain than those who did it as part of a routine test, despite a larger needle being used for the volunteers. So being good, being kind, being generous equals being physically beneficial. All right, so that's not a bad lesson for us this morning. How about this? I love museums, as you probably know. A collection of troubles, according to the Irish Independent today, of Troubles-era artefacts that include shoes worn by, reputedly, Colonel Gaddafi, is attempting to secure official museum status. The Roddy McCorley Society in West Belfast, who I've never heard of, has amassed items including decorative shoes the Libyan dictator apparently gifted to IRA leader Joe Cahill during a visit to secure arms for the provisionals. The Troubles collection also includes a bed and blanket from Long Kesh, the Mays Museum, prison rather, and a badly damaged army issue rifle found close to the site of the Narrow Water bombings, which killed 18 soldiers in 1979. And the society, we're told, has already secured Belfast City Council backing to transform three rooms above the Roddy McCorley Social Club on the Glen Road into a purpose-built museum facility. And it's hoping to achieve museum accreditation. Well, good luck to them in their endeavours there, because, as we know, it's so utterly important to remember things for better or for worse, so that we can march into the future armed with all of this interest. And I'll tell you in a little while, I went to Auschwitz. I've never been to Auschwitz before, but over the Christmas holidays, I went over with my oldest daughter for 2 days, flew to Krakow, went out to the Auschwitz and Birkenau concentration camps. And I'll tell you a bit about that later on, because I'll stay with the papers for now. But it was, needless to say, I suppose, an utterly fascinating trip. And I'll give you the rundown, because I might be able to help you if you are thinking of going, which I would urge you to, just in terms of flights and places to stay and stuff like, and what I thought of Krakow and what I thought of the experience and so on. If you're interested in that, I'll tell you about that in a little while. But before I do that, what about Katie Gallagher is writing in the Irish Mirror that Peaky Blinders fans went wild as a new trailer for A Quiet Place Part 2. I enjoyed The Quiet Place Part 1. It showcased a bearded and tattooed Cillian Murphy. The trailer went out and it shows the 43-year-old who got the release trending online as fans of the hit show rejoiced to see the familiar face popping up in the cast. So obviously we know him as Thomas Shelby in Peaky Blinders, among other things. But now he joins Emily Blunt, among others, for the A Quiet Place Part 2. And so that'll be interesting. And good to see the Irish doing well there. Good to see Katrina Balfe. Good reason to celebrate the arriving of 2020, according to Rory Scott Byrne in the Irish Star this morning. After her latest movie smashed the box office, Ford versus Ferrari has passed the major box office milestone of $200 million. And she is in that, and that's good news for her, former Late Late Show guest, as was Cillian Murphy. So that's good news for them. Meanwhile, another former guest, Love Island star Maura Higgins, explores alternative career options as it's revealed that she has been forced to rename her new reality show because of a legal row. What she wanted to call the show was Maura the Explorer. And guess who said no? That's right. Paws Patrol. Only joking. Obviously, Dora the Explorer said no. The owner said, forget about it. It's not going to happen. And so they have to come up with a new name. And no doubt they will get that in due course. Well, now, I must say you are busy on the text already this morning. 51551. She deserved the rap in the knuckles, says a text. He probably has arthritis in his hands. Just imagine, says another, if one of our overworked doctors reacted as the Pope did with that unfortunate woman. Oh, I see, you're a bit divided on whether or not he was right. You know, okay. Well said regarding the Pope. Totally agree, says Maureen. Another from Samantha in Dublin says, I think the quote of the day came from Boy George on Twitter, who says, who grabs the Pope like he's Harry Styles? You see, that's the thing. The Pope is Harry Styles for people who are into halos. Like, let's face it, it is what you... He is their Harry Styles. He's a papal pop prince. You've got to understand this. And that's what that woman, she got really excited. I think the Pope is propagating the culture of slapping when angry, says another. If he had been a man who grabbed his arm, sorry, if it had been a man, how would the Pope have reacted? I think the Pope has shown himself up. Yeah, well, I love the two popes also. Is Angels and Demons also on Netflix? I don't think so. I watched it on T.G. Carr. So I couldn't tell you whether it's on that or not. But it's like two popes is classy. Angels and Demons, nah, that's for the hungover head. Now, to be honest with you, two popes, you need to have your wits about you. It's really smart. It wasn't that bad. But if you watch the Pontiff's face after, he looks like he is not a nice man. Lads, I think you might have. Yeah, I think you're being a bit harsh on him, to be honest with you. He didn't punch anyone. I mean, it was a little. Don't do that, you know. So, but now it could turn into a whole big thing then. Oh, yeah. Okay. We just go easy on the molehill stuff, will we, for 2020? Let's not make mountains out of molehill. I think that we should all easy now. And let's not, you know, be vultural about attacking things and people and, you know, just steady. It's the 2nd of January. Let's not lemming our way into the new year. Let's do it gently. And there's a brilliant piece. Somebody was telling me, about Charles Darwin, and said that Charles Darwin's book about evolution, the famous Origin of Species, is, he's obsessed with pigeons. He felt that evolution and pigeons should be more connected than we know, and that he wrote more about pigeons than the Galapagos. But my friend who was pointing this out to me said that in that, it's very interesting to read, because I haven't read it. He said it's more readable than you know. But in it, Charles Darwin talks about his essentially the people who trolled him when he was in his time. And he was saying that how polite he was about dealing with other people's point of view, and how he would say, no, so-and-so said this about what I had to say. And while I welcome their curiosity and I'm intrigued by their engagement, I have to say, I don't know if they're quite right, because here's where I'm coming from. And I thought, wouldn't the world be a nicer place if we all tackled each other that way rather than the, you're the devil, which just isn't nice. 51551 is the text number. Jack says that woman attacked the Pope and she should be charged. He should not apologise. You see, this is getting all a little griefy now. Right, maybe it's time for him to retire like the last Pope. No excuse. Can't imagine the Dalai Lama lashing out at his followers. Maybe they're not as physically as enthusiastic as the papal followers. I don't know. I was at a papal audience 3 weeks ago with Sheila and Offaly. He spends hours meeting people, taking time to talk to them. He's an old man and certainly did not deserve the disrespect shown to him by that woman. Good Lord. And Maria Burke says, I'm heading off to work after a visit to Wales with the in-laws. Can you give a big call out to the Burkes in Dungarvan who fed us en route back from the ferry yesterday? And you've no idea how lovely it is to say that from Maria Burke. Delighted to say that, and happy new year to you all. That lady, meanwhile, should show respect. She should apologise. Oh, gosh. OK. I was only passing comment on what we saw, but I think we might park that now for fear of everyone's back getting up too early in the year. Right, what do we got for you? Loads to talk about and lots to do. 51551 is the text number. It's 18 minutes past nine. We are well and truly into 2020, up and running and open for business. That'll be James Vincent McMorrow and me and my friends. Nice way to start us off this year and indeed on the programme this morning. Now, Brian and Glenties was on to say, my book for the new year has to be Louisa May Alcott's Little Women, the wonderful story of the March sisters, Meg and Joe and Amy and Beth, four lovely, strong little women enduring hardships and enjoying adventures in Civil War New England. I would have loved to have met these people, particularly lovely little... Last Saturday, I did meet them when I went to see the film in Greta Gerwig's Little Women version, a stunning new movie version of this wonderful story with our own Saoirse Ronan, breathtakingly brilliant, heading the wonderful cast. It will join the classics, I kid you not. Well, I did go and see it. I was very keen to see it. I'd seen the photo stills about it and from it, so... Went to see it a couple of days ago. I period between Christmas and New Year when no one knows what day anything is or where anyone is going or why we're here. It's existentially challenging. But we get through it in a temporal sense. And here we are on the 2nd and it's Friday. No, it's Thursday. See, I just made that mistake there and it was a sincere and honest mistake. But that's what it is. We're back on the Late Late Show tomorrow night live. So I'm kind of heading towards that way too, going, we're back, sort this out. And big show for you tomorrow night. We'll tell you about that in a minute. But Little Women is a beautiful film, and it is strangely has a contemporary feel to it, despite when it's made and set. And it is a film. I was dying to tell you about it because it's a film I think that you should go and see around now at this time of the year. It's a very very heartening film, and it's a beautiful film to look at, and the acting is gorgeous, and the script is sparkling, and the whole thing, it's just a gorgeous film to go and see with your son or daughter, and it is it's PG, but kind of any ages, I wouldn't be worrying about that at all. It's a lovely experience. If you haven't been to the cinema for ages, or you're sick of the house, or you're sick of the people sitting on the couch beside you, this is the one. Go and see this. A couple of hours, pure escape, and it's smart, and it's good for the brain, and it's entertaining, and it's not preachy, so I say go. And Saoirse is brilliant in it. Florence Pugh, who I've been talking about from Lady Macbeth and Midsummer, is in it, and she's a knockout. And go. I'd be shocked if you were disappointed by that. All right, that's good. Eileen's reading Origin of the Species at the moment. Wondered how you'd enjoy it. I might pick it up. Now, I'm still on my CJ Sansom kick, thanks to you guys. But I've also read another book that's not coming out till March because I got a preview copy of it. I'll tell you about that nearer the time. But apart from that, nothing to report. Where are the men who should be guarding the Pope? I don't know where they are. Where were they? That's true. This should be Secret Service. Another says the guy's in his 80s. They could have had his shoulder dislocated. Give him a break. If Trump did that, we wouldn't be excusing his act. And the Pope's slapping newsflash. One, that woman will remember that for much longer than if she'd not got overexcited and yanked an old man like that. And two, good point, taking it easy on the molehills from Ryan. We need a lot more scalable molehills than mountains in this new decade. Yeah, I just felt the last 2-3 years got a bit out of hand with people pointing fingers. And there was a lot of sanctimony and a lot of high moral grounding going on. And then people felt suffocated by sanctimony. And you can't move anywhere. And actually then when you had private conversations with people, no one felt the way they were being told to feel. Does that make sense? So I think more people are much more tolerant than they get credit for. But unfortunately, it seems to be a very noisy, small amount of people who are pushing us into corners. It's worth thinking about. Obviously, I had a few weeks off, so I think I go, why are you so noisy? Why? Because there's so much goodness around, so much kindness, so much decency, and they don't get much of a look in. Felt sorry for the woman, says Mary. It was like he was a god to her. He should not have done it. Yeah, I mean, look, he just reacted in the moment, and that's what it was. It's done now. It's done now. It's 9:26. We have lots more coming up for you. We'll take a quick break first.
Whether you tune in every morning for the radio quiz or get wound up over a late night phone-in radio show, if you listen through your TV, then you must have a TV licence. It's the law. That's just one of the terms and conditions of life in Ireland. Other terms and conditions may include an unquestionable knowledge of who put the ball in the English net, or saying things like, back in my day, we were happy to play football in the street with an onion sack. But listening to the radio through your TV without a TV licence is definitely foul play. So head over to tvlicense.ie or to any post office, brought to you by the Government of Ireland.
The NCT's looming again. It's your mum's birthday next Tuesday. The washing machine is definitely on its last legs. The thing is, there's always something. Which is why it's always worth talking to our mortgage team to see how switching your mortgage to Ulster Bank could help. Talk to us today. Oh, and don't forget your mum's birthday. Ulster Bank. Help for what matters. Over 18s and Republic of Ireland residents only. Ulster Bank is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Sky Broadband. Ultra-fast broadband. Perfect for busy homes to be online at the same time.
At 27 minutes past nine, just quick mention of the trip to Auschwitz in Poland and Krakow. I've been wanting to go there for, well, since I was probably about 12 or 13 when history became very, very interesting to me and so on. And having read and seen so much about the Holocaust, I thought I'd like to go and see where the centre of so much of the horror that took place. And so myself and my oldest went along there just after Christmas for a couple of days. Ryanair only flight. Flight was great. It actually landed ahead of time there and actually landed ahead of time when we got home. I know Ryanair got a lot of grief, but whatever, we hit lucky there. So that was good. And then got to Krakow late enough on the first night we arrived, but went out and had a little wander around the old square. Krakow, intriguing, almost pre-Berlin Wall fall style of a place, which I quite liked. The key things, well, I wish people had told me. One, bring zloty, the local currency, because if you don't have a bit of zloty in your pocket, you'll have to tap your way through, which is fine, but just if you'd rather have some, they're not into the euro that much there, especially cash-wise, and just for the small things, like if you're getting a beer or Coke or something like that, bring zloty, that's key. And also, book a tour in advance in terms of have somebody who's going to bring you around as a tour group or whatever it might be, because you don't want to be wandering around the place depending on the few pictures and the bit of blurb underneath the pictures. It's not enough. You need to be led by the hand. So that's another key point to know. Accommodation, great. No issue there, especially near the old square, which is gorgeous. And then you'll find, before I get to the museum itself or the camp, really cheap. Everything. Beer, food, taxi transfers, everything's really reasonable. Everything's kind of under 20 quid, which is kind of nice, I thought, and very old school. You always think you'll be ripped off in a city, but absolutely not. People, lovely, business-like, but good, job done, punctual to a fault, but that's fine. I'm Irish. I missed that memo through the genes. And they everything lands on, you know, you will be there at this time and it will go through that gate at that time. And you're looking at the clock going, it's a minute, and then the clock hits and you're through the gate. And if it's a minute after, they're looking around for you going, why aren't you here? It was, what? Oh, I'm Irish. Oh, it's not, no excuse. Get in. So anyway, to the place, the museum itself. I keep calling it a museum. It's not. It is the that eerie gate with Arbeit Macht Frei overneath it, or above it. And I have to say to you, the weather that day was like something out of a war movie, in the sense that it was that snow that's not necessarily full or light. It's just half falling and not kind of sticking and kind of sticking. So it was very atmospheric. And in you go. And what do you see there? Well, you see, obviously, that it was a former Polish barracks. And ultimately, that's where the prisoners were sent to first. And it was a bit cobbled together by the authorities in the first instance. But they drag you then, as they would have dragged the prisoners in and around the place. And they show you where they would have been put, and the utter inhumanity of it all, the hair, the glasses, the kitchenware. They thought they were going to be baking or cooking there. I mean, this is how clever the Nazis were in their madness. As the lady guiding us said, the Nazis were mad, but they weren't stupid. And to the point that you'd have this photographs of the children being led to the showers, and you're just going, "Jesus, what's it?" The kids seem to be together or calm. They knew that they couldn't cause hysteria and chaos, so they made them do things like write their names on the suitcases, and then say, "You're just going for a quick shower, and then everything will be fine." Of course, we know what happened then. I'm conscious of kids listening this morning, but you know what happened then. And it's just, it takes your breath away for all the wrong reasons. You actually then go into a gas chamber and you walk around it and you are looking around. You find yourself constantly shaking your head, constantly going, how, why? You leave that and then you go to Birkenau, which is camp number two. And that's the that again, that grim railway line right through the centre of a vast pitches of purpose-built cabins, houses, whatever you want to call them, which is for the people where you go in to visit one of those. And again, you're shaking your head going, what? The lack of space, the lack of humanity, the lack of anything. And that's it. Over the 4 hours, that's the nature of it. It's done. It's very stark. It's not like, so, you know, modern museums have bells and whistles, and in some way they're probably a bit more interesting for younger people if they're coming from that. But you don't need necessarily any of that for this particular story, because it tells itself. So here's my analysis of it. Ultimately, it is a must see place, and I think. At the end of the tour, the lady said, thanks for coming to this on this tour, because you've been here and now you're going to tell everyone else. And that way it doesn't get forgotten. And I think that was key. Some of the huts had been dismantled. So where are they? Were they bombed? No, the local people had their houses dismantled back in the 30s to build it. And after the war, they went back and took the stones back. So there's some of them, until somebody said, stop, we're keeping this place. We're keeping it. It has to be here. So people could sometimes object to dark tourism or say, why would you want to go there? And the truth of it is, if it was removed, what would we go and see? And you know, when you think of fake news and deniers, if it's not there, it makes it much easier to say, how do you know it happened? And with that in mind, there was loads to reflect on, as we did afterwards. And yeah, walking around the city of Krakow, then ultimately afterwards, which was, you know, it was a strange experience having been spent the day there. But again, time beautifully spent, as it happens, as a road trip with your daughter. That's a different story. But as two people who are interested in history and that, we'd much to discuss, which we did over a few drinks and visited a few places around Krakow. And all told, 48 hours, time well spent. Thoroughly recommended, and I think a reasonable enough excursion if that's something that will be of interest to you. All right, 51551 is the text number. You can email ryan@rte.ie. Maria was on to say you absolutely must visit the Warsaw Uprising Museum, something similar to the camps. I went there over the new year. Yeah, I'd love to go back to Poland. I was really taken by, funny enough, in the airport on the way back, I was approached by a number of people to say hello and have a photo who were from Poland originally, but living in Ireland now for the last 15, 16 years, all warm, friendly, with families that are children who would have now Polish and Irish. It always reminds me of the Irish in New York at the turn of the century, that this is their turn at coming to another place and hopefully being welcomed and finding a new home and enriching the tapestry of who we are. Beautiful thing. And it was lovely to meet these people. Krakow, says Anne in Kilkenny, take a look at the buildings, the Stalin-era buildings, and men in long leather coats, felt as if James Bond movie could be filmed there. Whether religious or not, visit some of the churches. Stunning. Yeah, I did notice that. So that's what I meant about the wall. It feels like the wall hasn't quite fallen. It's only two hours and a bit to fly over there, by the way. It's not a big trek. And I believe that there's plenty of places in Poland. I was intrigued. I was delighted I went. I went many years ago, said Margaret. I like history, and of course I watched everything on the Holocaust. Totally moved by the whole experience. We must never let it happen again, for sure. And lots more on that. We'll go to that in a second. But there's another historical place of great interest at a much more local and less gruesome level I'm going to talk about as we head west towards Kylemore Abbey. And we'll do that after this. Villagers, that nothing arrived. Heaps and heaps of texts in on everything we've been talking about this morning, including Little Women. Went to see it last night, says Ina in Mullingar. Loved it. Saoirse, brilliant. Read the book years ago. Loved it. Joe was my favourite, says she. I went to see Little Women on New Year's Eve, says Roisin in the cloudy southeast, with my 17-year-old daughter, my mum, sister-in-law, nieces and second cousin. Nine of us all together, ranging in ages from 10 to 60, and everyone enjoyed it immensely. And thank you. Happy New Year to you and to everyone listening this morning. listening to you talk about Krakow and Auschwitz, and having been there twice, I 100% agree with everything you said. It's a must-see for everyone, especially young people, as a stark reminder of man's inhumanity to man, says Marion Murray. Krakow is a beautiful city and worth a visit in its own right. And Morris, where we went to Auschwitz, my abiding memory as we walked through the exhibitions was the little red shoes in among the hundreds on display. Heart-wrenching, says Mary in Kilkenny. And Roisin in Donegal says, went there in October, strongly confirmed my belief that history must remain mandatory for schoolgoers and that school tours should include such important and tragic reminders of how badly history is treated and that we are never far away from such horrors being repeated. And myself, says Anthony, and my daughter went to the camps last April, and the part that got me was the single railroad carriage on the track and the size of the camps. I thoroughly agree with you that it is a must-see for every man and woman and child to visit. Another, really interested in your account of a recent visit to Krakow with your daughter, says Brigid Rahini. I went there with my brother last year for a few days, unforgettable. And when next in Poland, I'd recommend a visit to the salt. Everyone's saying, by the way, go to the salt mines. I didn't, which is nearby, simply stunning. But indeed, thanks for that and for the nice greetings. Listening to your account of your visit, says Mark, I was there 11 years ago. I wasn't planning. But I was driving nearby with a Polish friend and she began talking about this place and we were at a roundabout and I drove down this road and there it was, just like you described it. It was coming up to 5 p.m, kind of gloomy. Went in, I just saw some of it as it was closing time, but I saw the display of hair and the footwear. The experience had a profound effect on me. I had a long drive ahead and I sat into the car and never opened my mouth for 3 hours. I always say that I was in what just resembled a meat factory for humans. I always have a sense of having been in a place where evil happened, and that is the truth of it. Lots more on that. We might talk about it again in the next day or two, because the volume of response on that subject and then indeed into going to other places like it is enormous, and people might be planning a trip away here or there. And although it's dark as hell, and I mean hell, it's also something that is kind of important and worth a look. We've got a quick break before we say goodbye.